904-264-2481. 904-264-2481.
Good morning. Talk Radio 600 WBOB is proud to present Tula's Tips for Caregivers. Help is on the air with Tula Wooten, your source to go to for resources and information to help you in this rewarding but sometimes challenging role. Tula's Tips for Caregivers, brought to you in part by Hartage Giddens, your Dignity Memorial provider, and by DaVita Dialysis, your source for kidney disease and dialysis. To participate in today's show, call 904-854-1320. That's 854-1320. And now, here's Tula.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Tula's Tips for Caregivers. It's a beautiful Saturday morning, and I don't know about you, but I'm glad to see some spring weather here today after all the cold that we have recently had. If there are those of you out in the audience today who are tuning in for the first time, I'd like to tell you a little bit about this show and why I'm doing it. I have been a medical social worker, and I've served other roles in the community working with seniors and their caregivers for 25 plus years. And during those years, I've just really seen so many organizations do a great job of serving the senior and providing resources, but nobody really reached upstream, if you will, to care for the caregivers who were caring for their loved ones, for their parents, for the spouse who's caring for a spouse who are 65 plus. So I decided about a year ago to try to do just that, to have this radio show to reach caregivers. And I have three main goals. My goals are to offer information on resources in the community that can be of assistance to you. I hope to provide encouragement and impart strength to you for this role. I know it can be very difficult at times, and for some of you, it's 24/7 and all-consuming. And then thirdly, I want to let you know that you're not alone in this role. As a matter of fact, nationwide, we have over 65 million caregivers. And in our Northeast Florida area, in the five counties in the Northeast Florida, we have 100,000 plus caregivers. And so my goal is to do some connectivity to help you know that, you know, there are others out there in the same boat you are, if you will, and help you help each other. So today I am pleased to do just that. And I have another guest with me today. This is his second time back. And my guest today is Dr. Robert Stahl. He's a geriatrician in New York who works with a lot of seniors and has taken the time to do just what we've talked about, to care for the caregivers who care for them, and in fact has written a book called The Caregiver's Handbook. Welcome back, Dr. Stahl.
Hi, Tula. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. What's the weather like in New York today?
Well, I'm looking out the window, and the snow is coming down, not that heavy, but it's going somewhat sideways, so I anticipate, a typical Buffalo wintry day, but, you know, March is coming, and April is coming, and May, and there's nothing more beautiful than spring up here in Western New York.
That's the truth. I have been up there in the spring, and when the blossoms come out, it is really, really pretty up there, so I love your positive attitude, and I know me telling you that we're supposed to hit the low 80s today won't do anything to deter that attitude, right?
Well, I'm not going to get a sunburn up here, that's for sure.
No, I don't think too many of us are going to be doing that either, but we are thankful that our cold snap seems to have at least temporarily ended. Anyway, to go from the weather into our topic today, we talked about today talking about some of the demands that our loved ones place on us when we're in the role of caregiving and how some of them may be unrealistic and how do we handle them and what are our rights as caregivers. So I'd like you to maybe kick off and talk about maybe what some of the demands that you've seen loved ones, family members place on their caregivers that you thought were maybe a little bit hard to deal with.
Well, the last show, 2 weeks ago, we went through a caregiver quiz, really a stress test for caregivers, and I hope some people got something out of that, that it was helpful. The main thing, the take-home message there is that you're not alone and that there are community resources that you should reach out for to try and help during your caregiving duties. Today, Chapter 5 of the Caregiver's Handbook is dedicated to the Caregiver's Bill of Rights. And I just wanted to go through some of these, and we can discuss them as we go along. I don't know if there will be callers calling in. That would be great. Otherwise, we'll just forge ahead and let people listen and hopefully get something out of that, too.
I'd like that. And before we get started, Dr. Stahl, could you tell those in my audience who would like to have a copy, because I had a couple of requests, and so if there are others, how to get the copy of your Caregiver's Bill of Rights, of the handbook, I'm sorry.
Yes, I actually added a link to my website, stahlgeriatrics.com. That's stahlgeriatrics.com. Certainly they could ask you to get to me, and I'd be happy to email that. But there's a new link right in the middle at the top of the page called, this is Download the Caregiver Stress Quiz, and I guess I have to add the link for downloading the whole Caregiver's Handbook. And I am in the process of reworking that, updating it, and making it available both on the web, but also through handheld devices like the Kindle and your portable digital assistant like an iPhone and a BlackBerry and such.
Oh, I love that. You've gone to the electronic age with it too, and making it very easily accessible for most of us, because all of us have some kind of access that way. To get it. And again, as he said, if you don't have that ability, you're more than welcome to contact me. You can call me anytime at area code 904-733-9795, or you can contact me via the web if you'd like at Tula at tulastipsforcaregivers.com, and Tula is T-O-U-L-A. So I'd be delighted to email that to you as well. Well, we're going to go into the break in just a couple of minutes, but before we do that, let's talk about the first right, if you will, that's listed on your Caregiver's Bill of Rights.
That is, caregivers have the right to receive sufficient training in caregiving skills along with accurate, understandable information about the condition and needs of the care recipient.
And how might they go and find out some of these caregiving skills and training?
Well, if you do a little research in your community, I'm up here in Western New York, and we have a fantastic Erie County Senior Services, that Senior Services department offered through our county. Erie County is a county that contains Buffalo, New York. As well as other surrounding communities, total population almost 1 million people. In addition, there are organizations like the Alzheimer's Association, which have local chapters throughout the country that also can provide tremendous information, classes on understanding the conditions of your loved one, and also what caregivers can do to help in the best way they can, both to take care of the person they're caring for and to take care of themselves.
Thank you for that advice. I appreciate that. We'll talk more when we come back from our break. You're listening to Tula's Tips for Caregivers on Talk Radio 600 WBOB.
When you grew up, you, your brother, and sister each went looking for your own place in the world. Your family was now scattered around the country with families of your own. But when the news came that your mother passed away unexpectedly, all of you had to make it home to say your goodbyes to Mom. The Dignity Memorial Network's Bereavement Travel Program seeks out the best travel options for you, including airfare, car rental, lodging, and more. When a loved one dies, the support of family and friends is incredibly important. The Bereavement Travel Program can reduce the stress of making travel plans at this most difficult time, so you can focus on being together, not just getting together. The Dignity Memorial Network, America's leading funeral homes and cemeteries, united to bring you the services you need when it matters most.
For more information, call Hartage Giddens Town and Country Funeral Home and Riverside Memorial Park, 904-781-9262.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. I'm proud to say that Underwoods now has a store at the Avenues Mall, and it's stocked and professionally staffed the way you'd expect us to do that. This new Underwoods is where Carlisle Jewelers was located before they went out of business. In fact, if you traded at Carlisle, we want to be your jeweler, now and in the future. So if you bought any of the brands there that we stock and carry at Underwoods, like Rolex, David Yurman, John Hardy, Roberto Coin, and Mickey Moto, just bring in that piece with your receipt from them, and we'll take over the warranty from there. It'll be just like that piece came from Underwoods to start with. It's not your fault they closed up, and we want to be your jeweler. Now, this offer is good at any Underwood location in San Marco, Avondale, the Shops of Ponte Vedra, or the Avenues Mall. We hope you'll take us up on this offer that's good for a limited time. We look forward to serving you at Underwoods, Florida's finest jeweler since 1928.
Kidney patients should know they have a choice in receiving treatment. Many patients choose DaVita, a leading provider, because DaVita patient outcomes consistently exceed national averages. DaVita believes that the more you know about your kidneys and how they work, the better choices you'll be able to make about your own care. So, we offer no-cost education classes called Empower Classes right here in Jacksonville. These Empower Classes teach kidney patients and their families about how kidneys work, how the right diet and medications can help you feel healthier, treatment choices that fit your health and lifestyle, even about insurance and options to help you keep working. Empower Classes are held the third Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the Charles M. Neviser Education Institute at Community Hospice, 4266 Sunbeam Road, Building 100 in Jacksonville. If you need more information or have questions about DaVita, call 1-888-MY-KIDNEY. That's 1-888-MY-KIDNEY.
And now let's return to Tula's Tips for Caregivers on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. Brought to you in part by Hartage Giddens, your Dignity Memorial provider, and by DaVita Dialysis, your source for kidney disease and dialysis. To be a part of today's show, call 904-854-1320. That's 854-1320. Once again, here's Tula Wooten.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tula's Tips for Caregivers. And listening audience, I hope you will take the time to call in and express some thoughts on caregiving. We're going to be talking a little bit more about your Bill of Rights and a little bit more about some of the expectations that caregivers put on us. And I know that there are caregivers in the audience today who have been in this role and had some pretty interesting expectations required of their loved ones. But before we went into the break, we were talking a little bit about learning about your loved one's condition and then seeking out resources in your community to help you in the caregiving role. And I wanted to just take a second to mention that here in Northeast Florida, you have a wonderful coalition called the Caregiver Coalition of Northeast Florida. My full-time job is development director at Community Hospice, and we have reached out to other organizations that serve seniors, including the Alzheimer's Association, as Dr. Stahl mentioned, the Memory Disorders Clinic at Mayo, our local area elder source, which is in some areas is called your Area Agency on Aging, our Urban Jacksonville, who provides those services, and the City of Jacksonville Adult Services. All of us together have pulled together our collective strength and knowledge and resources to do a number of caregiving workshops per year. And we just did one, as a matter of fact, last Saturday, and had about 180 people attend. So it really does show the need that is out there. And we had a lot of vendors there who offered resources for caregivers. If you want to know more about that and about the e-newsletter that we're putting out monthly for caregivers that we're very soon will also be mailed out hard copy, you can call our caregiver connection line at 407-7400. Pardon me, that's area code 904-407-7400. Or go to mycaregiverconnection.org. That's our website that we just recently started. Again, it's our goal to serve you, the caregiver. So, Dr. Stahl, we were talking a little bit about that, and I think we've covered pretty well the first, right? Let's go into the second one, and I'll ask you to read that, if you will.
Yeah, we have quite a few to get through.
We do.
Hopefully we'll touch on all of them. There are 9 altogether. Caregivers have the right to appreciation and emotional support for their decision to accept the challenge of providing care.
Does that always happen?
I can't tell you how many generally adult children, generally a daughter of a patient that feels quite alone and unsupported by her siblings, sometimes a spouse of the adult child may not be supportive, and they feel quite alone. And also, in the community, in terms of what assistance that HMOs might be able to offer, which generally, the health plans don't have anything specific in place for caregivers. And society in general, at least, is now beginning to see the role that caregivers play and really the time and effort that they put in, which would otherwise amount to billions of dollars of care that everyone else would have to support.
That's right. We talked about this at our caregiver workshop last week about your need as a caregiver to feel appreciated for what you do, and that it is okay to say to your loved one, you know, you don't really have the right to demand me to be there 24/7 and for every little thing to be done by me when you can do things for yourself. And I have the right to be appreciated. And I wouldn't mind a thank you every now and then for some of what I do.
Absolutely. You bring up, just the appreciation on the caregiver stress quiz. One of the questions was, do you feel appreciated by the one you're caring for? And, a thank you once in a while from the cared for person, it can go miles to help a caregiver forge ahead and really enjoy what they're doing, which really is a job that, it's as close to being a saint, I think, as we can get. And almost, a miracle in a sense, which is required of saints.
You know, I'm going to agree with you on that. My little slogan catchphrase is that they're heroes in my book, because they are, because I've met so many caregivers through the years, and a lot of them have been women, although the number of male caregivers is certainly on the rise, who really have, in so many senses, given up their own life, if you will, to be a caregiver. And I don't really necessarily advocate that. I'm a real believer in continuing your own life and doing the things that you enjoy doing. And I think that is a right of a caregiver as well. And
absolutely. Caregivers have lives to live too. And, it's easy for people to look from out of town, and this is what often happens with siblings, double think what might be going on locally, or not see their loved one responding in what they feel from afar would be optimal, but they're not right in the fray, in the fire, so to speak, of what's going on and how difficult it is to be a caregiver. So, a simple thanks from the brothers and sisters of the ones that are the point people locally also can go a very long way.
Well, that leads to actually one of the points you've put on this Bill of Rights, and that is caregivers have the right to expect all family members, both men and women, to participate in the care of their aging relatives. And as you just said, a lot of times it does fall on one person, one sibling. And sometimes those that aren't involved are the first ones to be critical or not really appreciative, as you just said, of the caregiving role that their sibling is providing. How do you get your siblings to engage more in this role?
Well, most important, I think, is to not assume that they're purposely trying to undermine your activities as the on-site caregiver. open dialogue and being honest and straightforward with your siblings or other family members who may be involved. I think the doctor or doctors can also help serve as an intermediary to help explain to those who aren't right there what's going on, and maybe suggest ways that the people from how people from afar can be helpful rather than obstructive in certain ways.
And I think that, you know, everybody is gifted with certain talents and skills. And so I think it's appropriate to schedule a family meeting, you know, to have discussion about the different tasks that are required in the care of your loved one, particularly if it's a parent. And siblings should look at, what am I good at? You know, if there's someone there that is really good at the financial aspects of it and helping with that, or the insurance medical claims and helping with that, that's a role that one can take on, you know, and still be a very strong help in this role. Maybe someone else has more flexibility in their schedule and can drive mom or dad back and forth to doctor's appointments and other medical appointments, thus providing some respite for the primary caregiver. I just think it's important to look at, again, the different strengths and talents that each person can bring to the table and kind of divvy up the roles that way. Does that make sense?
I agree 100%. And, you know, the primary caregiver can maybe just try to find the one thing that can be the ask for. Often the primary caregiver expects other people to offer help and is reluctant to ask for help. And if something specific is asked for that's, you know, not dumping the whole thing onto someone all of a sudden because of months or years of resentment, and then all of a sudden you just lay it all out to the other people. I think if you think right at the very beginning, what very simple things you can ask other people to help with, that people will respond to that. And in the long run, it'll be good for the primary caregiver and most of all be good for the person being cared for.
Right. And after all, that is the goal of it all. That gets in, you know, everything we're discussing today gets into a lot of family dynamics. And as we all know, there is no perfect family. All families have their own dynamics going on. But to come together to really be able to provide for the care of your parent or your loved one and care for each other in the process, I think is a pretty important aspect of all of that. Can we look at the one that talks about caregivers have the right to protect their assets and financial future while being
right,
in this role?
Yeah, that's number three. And, you know, certainly there's a financial burden of money that might be in the bank or elsewhere. And also this gets into job, how the caregiving responsibility can often affect a job that a caregiver has, both in what's called absenteeism. Certainly not being at your job is an obvious
problem,
symptom of caregiving burden. But there's also something called presenteeism, that when you're at your job, you can't focus thoroughly. You might be making calls from work to arrange doctor's appointments. Or
the music means we're going to cut in a minute, so we'll be back after a break from our sponsors. Thanks so much.
Your new home for the best conservative talk radio in Jacksonville.
Talk Radio 600.
WBOB. Online 600WBOB.com.
There's one man on this earth who really, truly gets it.
Have you ever asked yourself what it's like to be a liberal? What it's like to wake up every morning and just see so much negativity in the most marvelous society on the face of the earth? To wake up and think you live in a country that that intentionally discriminates against people based on their religion, or their sex, or their color, or their height, or their weight, or whatever?
Mark Levin is on the radio.
Weeknights at 6 on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. And now let's return to Tula's Tips for Caregivers on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. Brought to you in part by Hartage Giddens, your Dignity Memorial provider, and by DaVita Dialysis, your source for kidney disease and dialysis. To be a part of today's show, call 904-854-1320. That's 854-1320. Once again, here's Tula Wooten.
Welcome back, everyone. Today, my guest is Dr. Stahl, Dr. Robert Stahl from New York. He is a practicing geriatrician who cares for a lot of seniors, but takes that extra step and cares for the people who are caring for them as well. And I just really have to applaud you for that, because honestly, I don't know too many physicians who really do reach upstream like that. So thank you, Dr. Stahl, and thank you for taking the time to write this caregiver's handbook. I've found a lot of value in it, and today, as we're going through the Caregiver's Bill of Rights, we just, before the break, finished talking a little bit about caregivers have the right to protect their own financial future and their own assets while still caring for their loved one. And I don't remember numbers off the top of my head, but I have read studies that show women in particular are the ones who often are the one receive a financial distress from their role as caregiving. Many of them go to part-time or quit their jobs, and, you know, obviously there's loss of income, loss of retirement benefits when that happens, and then there's costs associated with caregiving.
Yes, absolutely, and it's very important, you know, to touch base with a financial advisor or an elder care lawyer, which is a specialty now of law. That could be very helpful in at least pointing you in the right direction and making sure that your own personal assets that you need for yourself, for your own family, don't disappear because of your generosity and acting like a Florence Nightingale to help your loved one. It's very important to watch out for. The last, there are actually 10 in this Caregiver Bill of Rights, and related to number 3 that we're talking about is the right to a sensitive, supportive response by employers in dealing with the unexpected or severe care needs. So I know I've been involved in employee assistance programs, working directly with companies that are dealing with more and more employees that have loved ones that need the help of their employees. And it's important for employers to understand this and be sensitive and give some leeway to people who are dedicated workers but also have personal responsibilities.
You know, I think we're starting to just slowly see employers becoming more sensitive to this, just like in the 80s when we heard employers becoming more sensitive to the idea of childcare. I don't know if you remember that, but a lot of companies, at least in our area, used to bring on childcare onto their sites and offer childcare benefits and things like that. And I don't hear as much about that. I'm sure it still is going on, but slowly we're starting to have people realize the importance of offering this assistance to their employees for breaks for care, for caring for their loved ones, and benefits for that. And I know of at least 2 or 3 companies here in the Northeast Florida area that have some lunch and learns for people in their company who are caregivers, and different organizations from out our area come in and offer resources and provide. So I think that's an awesome step.
Yeah, in New York, actually this past week, I was just provided with a form. It's called the Family Medical Leave Act application. to explain to the employer why their employee needs to have time to care for a loved one. And the more understanding employers are about this, the more they're going to keep their dedicated, good workers. And if they can help with the caregiving burden themselves, then they're going to have the continued access to their, you know, excellent, dedicated employees.
I think that'll make for higher productivity all around the board, you know, if employers can be more sensitive to that. We have a caller on line one. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
We appreciate it. I'm sorry you held a little while.
Oh, that's okay. And can we go back just a minute to the Bill of Rights before this one about the work, but go back to what Dr. Stahl said about the siblings, the right for respect among the siblings?
Sure.
I think it's important to remember, I was a caregiver for 3 years for my mom before she passed away. And I had three siblings. They all, most of them lived out of town. I think it's important to remember that everybody's under stress because everybody has a relationship with that loved one. And so they're experiencing their own stress just because the loved one is becoming increasingly dependent. And so I would say to other caregivers, just like Dr. Stahl said, assume good intent among the siblings when you all get together. Not everybody's going to be at their best because of the stress level. And then I wanted to ask Dr. Stahl a question, too. I know there were many times when, it's a medical question, many times when my mother's symptoms would change or, you know, I would feel like she was getting in a place where maybe she needed to go to the hospital or... What's the best way for a caregiver to relate to the doctor?
Well, that's a very good question. Ideally, and I give a talk. It's called Key Principles of Geriatrics, and one of those principles is sudden change comes from sudden problems. So when, like you're describing, something new is going on, maybe increased confusion or someone's more tired than usual or not eating the way, you know, it's important not to assume that it's, you know, just progression of dementia or the expected progression of a process. Most disease in older people, pre-existing problems, progress, especially dementia, it's a gradual progression, not a sudden thing. I tell patients Alzheimer's disease doesn't come on overnight. So if all of a sudden one day your mom's fine and the next day they're totally confused, that's not Alzheimer's disease coming on overnight. Mm-hmm. And it's important that way you can be the eyes and ears for the doctor. And by giving the doctor the perspective of they were fine yesterday, this isn't normal for them, you know, this is definitely a change unlike any I've seen before, that would help the doctor understand that this is something new that needs to be investigated. So one of the best things caregivers can do is to gather as much information as they can rather than just calling the doctor and leaving a message saying, I need to talk to you. Leave a message specifically what the issue is, because often we, the doctor, needs to do some background work. We need to look at the chart. We have to go over previous history, the medications that someone's on, what recent laboratory tests were. And so instead of going back and forth several times, leave something specific, and then the doctor's office knows how to prioritize that in terms of urgency and can best address the need.
Okay, thank you.
Nancy.
I hope that helps.
Oh, it does. You know, thank you very much.
That's awesome.
Yes, that's very helpful.
Can I ask you a question?
I believe strongly that patients and caregivers need to be involved in their own health care. And my experience is they want to be involved in their own health care. I don't see it as just the doctors and other health professionals telling people what to do and other people following that. I believe in something called grassroots geriatrics, where we're all involved in keeping an eye out for our aging loved ones and to be the eyes and ears. What's that?
It takes a village to raise a child.
Absolutely.
It takes a village to care for a loved one.
You got it. I can't agree with that more.
Nancy, I appreciate your thoughts and your questions. Tell me, what was one of your most challenging expectations of your mother as you cared for her?
Well, my mom expected me to be with her 24/7. I think because of her fragile state, she felt she was extremely physically dependent and emotionally dependent. Had a heightened sense of that. She was an independent woman while she was healthy, but as she gradually began to decline, she was more emotionally dependent on me. And even though when I would go to work, a caregiver would be with her that I trusted, she would always say, "Don't leave me, you know, please, you know, I don't want her, I want you."
Nancy,
so that was my big challenge.
We're going into a break here in just a couple of seconds. Thank you. You can hold on if you want, but I appreciate your comments, and we'll be right back after the break.
After a loved one dies, some days are difficult to get through. The first Thanksgiving and Christmas are hard. The first birthday, the first Father's Day, and that's how it was after my father passed away. He meant so much to us, and some days I feel his absence even more. Thankfully, he made sure I'd still have a place to visit him, a permanent memorial, so days like these are a little less difficult. Whether you choose burial or cremation, you owe it to your loved ones to give them a site where they can visit and reflect. Dignity Memorial Providers will help you find the ideal site to create a perfect place for your loved ones to visit. The Dignity Memorial Network, America's leading funeral homes and cemeteries, united to bring you the services you need when it matters most.
For more information, call Hartage Giddens Mandarin Chapel, 904-288-0025, 904-288-0025.
Be a part of the history. Jacksonville's first ever National All-Star Game. Saturday, February 26th at the Veterans Memorial Arena. It's the ABA National All-Star Game. The 2011 ABA All-Star Game, right here in Jacksonville. NBA scouts will be on hand to check out the talent, including Jacksonville's very own 7-footer Jermaine Bell. He and Hollywood Horton have both been selected to represent your Jacksonville Giants. It's the ABA All-Star Game, Saturday, February 26th at 12:30 p.m. Be there for the excitement, slam dunk contest, three-point shootout, live music pregame and postgame, halftime entertainment, and much more. Don't miss Jacksonville's first ever National All-Star Game, Saturday, February 26th at 12:30.
Kidney patients should know they have a choice in receiving treatment. Many patients choose DaVita, a leading provider, because DaVita patient outcomes consistently exceed national averages. DaVita believes that the more you know about your kidneys and how they work, the better choices you'll be able to make about your own care. So, we offer no-cost education classes called Empower Classes right here in Jacksonville. These Empower Classes teach kidney patients and their families about how kidneys work, how the right diet and medications can help you feel healthier, treatment choices that fit your health and lifestyle, even about insurance and options to help you keep working. Empower classes are held the third Thursday of every month at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. at the Charles M. Neviser Education Institute at Community Hospice, 4266 Sunbeam Road, Building 100 in Jacksonville. If you need more information or have questions about DaVita, call 1-888-MY-KIDNEY. That's 1-888-MY-KIDNEY.
And now let's return to Tula's Tips for Caregivers on Talk Radio 600 WBOB. Brought to you in part by Hartage Giddens, your Dignity Memorial provider, and by DaVita Dialysis, your source for kidney disease and dialysis. To be a part of today's show, call 904-854-1320. That's 854-1320. Once again, here's Tula Wooten.
Welcome back, everyone. If you've just joined us, today my guest is Dr. Robert Stahl, a geriatrician in New York who wrote an awesome caregiver's handbook. And today we've been covering the Caregiver's Bill of Rights from that handbook. And we had a great call just then. Thank you, Nancy, for calling and expressing some of the things that you've gone through as a caregiver and for your question. Dr. Stahl, it doesn't look like we're going to get through all of them on today's show, so it looks like I'm going to have you back again.
Well, one thing, Tula, I want to comment on a couple of things. Nancy, you know, was talking about her mom being emotionally dependent. And one thing to keep in mind is that as people age, they lose control. And, you know, people want to be in control of their own lives. Mm-hmm. And so what might end up seeming like demanding behavior, really, you can look at it as someone just wanting to stay in control over what they're still able to be in control with. And that sometimes comes down to what might be felt to be manipulative behavior, you know, different terms that is, you know, quite derogatory. But if you understand it as an effort to just stay in control of yourself and your life, then maybe you can understand it a little bit better.
That is such an important point, and I'm really glad you brought that up, because sometimes the expectations, I know, do seem unreasonable, but everybody wants autonomy. Everybody wants to be, or at least have some control over every aspect of their lives. And, you know, we've grown up, we've gone to school, we've worked, we've had families, we've been leaders, and all of a sudden we're aging and we're more dependent on someone else for so many things. And that's really hard to accept. And so
it sure is. And, you know, the other thing Nancy mentioned, and she really said it herself, to be understanding of your siblings, the relationships that they may have had or may not have had with their parent, for example. And now when it's at a point where it's really hard to recoup what may not have been the best relationship, there's guilt that gets involved, there's frustration, there's sibling rivalry type issues that often rear their ugly head. Mm-hmm. And one thing I teach medical students is to be in touch with your own emotions when you're seeing a patient. For example, one of the best ways to diagnose someone who's depressed is whether they make you feel depressed by being around them. So if you're in touch with your emotions, if you have a sibling that is making you upset or angry or frustrated, then think about how angry and upset and frustrated they might actually be over the situation. And Nancy really laid that out herself.
She did. And, you know, I think she pointed to the importance of sensitivity, I think, and just dealing with each other. And sometimes that's really hard to lose focus on. But in fact, I think it's something we all desire, is people be sensitive to our own needs and thoughts and where we're at. And it's just an important part of good relationships and not putting yourself first, if you will. And so, Nancy, I really do thank you for the very thoughtful comments that you had today. If you're still out there listening, they were, again, very thoughtful and profound, and they come from somebody who's been there. So,
yes, absolutely. And now, Tula, looking at you know, what remains on the Caregiver's Bill of Rights, many have to do with being able to stay at home or keep your loved one at home, having access to alternative sites of care like respite care if mm-hmm. you need to get away. And caregivers do need to get away. They need a break. I had a sister of someone who has developing and worsening Alzheimer's disease. She said she had not been away for a vacation for, I think it was 10 years. And it was just unbelievable. And you need to get away to reset the thermostat, to get refreshed, to get a new perspective or the proper perspective on what you're doing. And there are respite care facilities. Many people also, when it really is not the best thing to keep your loved one at home anymore because of safety issues, because of the overall stress and care that's being provided that really needs to be provided by professionals, you should start looking sooner than later at the different options available in the community, be it daycare programs, adult homes, living facilities, and nursing homes, long-term care facilities, depending on the care needs. One resource that can help you define a need, you may have this in Florida, but there's something that we put together. It's called Western New York Senior Care, and there's a website, wnyseniorcare.com. And you go through a simple questionnaire on the web, and it gives you suggestions as to what level of care might be appropriate given what your loved one is experiencing at the current time. The recommendations for specific facilities are local to Western New York, but the types of facilities might be useful to your listeners as well.
Yeah, they're applicable, I'm sure. And here in the Northeast Florida, we're actually very fortunate to have a large number of great assisted living facilities and long-term care facilities. And that's really a whole nother discussion that we could have sometimes, because I know that sometimes caregivers make promises they can't really keep about placing their loved one or not placing their loved one. And how do you approach the topic with your loved one and transition them smoothly so that, you know, nobody's really upset and it's a good positive change for everyone. But it's something that needs to be discussed, because there comes a point sometimes, again, when the acuity level of your loved one reaches a point where you can no longer truly well care for them. And then sometimes your own well-being and your own level of stress or your own health is compromised to the point so that you can't do the best for your loved one. So there are so many factors that need to be taken into consideration that I think sites like this and others that are out there on caregiving can really help you. And then again, the Northeast Florida Caregiver Coalition can help you. We've got an organization of people who are well versed in all of these facts of caregiving and can help you know when it might be time to place your loved one. And it's not something you need to feel bad about. No, not everyone can care for their loved one in their home till they do die in their home. Sometimes it really is in everyone's best interest to place them in a care facility. Hard as that might be, it's an emotional transition, but it is something that caregivers have the right to do, as you said. And they also have the right to adult daycare. And as you mentioned, Dr. Stahl, there are a lot of wonderful places here in Northeast Florida that offer adult daycare. And some of the assisted living facilities here will take your loved one for a few days, a few weeks, whatever you need to be able to get away. And that, too, is a right you have as a caregiver to be able to get away and take care of yourself, to refresh and renew. Dr. Stahl, our show will be airing in just about two more minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to add for caregivers?
Yeah, I know this goes so fast and there's so much to talk about. I think exciting is that there are a lot of people around the country that are concerned and looking to offer help to caregivers. Tula, you and I, for each of our respective communities, have been looking into a relatively new resource that hopefully we'll be able to offer free of charge to caregivers, and that also might provide helpful information and resources to allow caregivers to continue to do what they do and what they want to do to help their loved ones.
I look forward to having you back on the show, Dr. Stahl, and along with Dave Gold, if possible, to talk about that new resource. It's going to be an awesome resource. And in the interim, caregivers, if you need help, if you have questions and want to talk to someone, please email me at Tula, that's T-O-U-L-A, at TulasTipsForCaregivers.com. There's no apostrophe after in Tula's. It's Tula at Tula's I can't say it. Tula at Tula's TipsForCaregivers.com. Thank you for listening.
I can try it for you, Tula.
There you go. Have a go at it.
Okay. Well, tune in to Tula's Tips for Caregivers. It's great, and she's providing a service that's invaluable.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week at 11 o'clock. Blessings to everyone.
It's unnatural, unthinkable to outlive a child or a grandchild, but sometimes it happens, as it did to Ron and Dorothy. Their 8-year-old grandson, Billy, was lost to cancer. Same boy who played soccer in your backyard, the boy Ron and your husband took fishing. You find yourself wondering, if it were my grandchild, what would I do? Where would I turn? You don't have to worry if you've made pre-arrangements with a Dignity Memorial provider. In the unlikely event of such a tragedy, Dignity Memorial Network's Child and Grandchild Protection Program will cover the cost of funeral services for your children and grandchildren. The Dignity Memorial Network, America's leading funeral homes and cemeteries, united to bring you the services you need when it matters most.
For more information, call Hardage Giddens Chapel Hills Funeral Home and Memory Gardens, 904-641-9755.
The First Coast's best conservative talk radio 600, WBOB Jacksonville, and W299BL Jacksonville on FM at 107.7.